course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how the hell are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. Just living the dream. Although I will say, the other day, I came home, and I heard this really weird voice coming out of my closet that said, "Get out." Mm-hmm.
Did you immediately toss all the mirrors in your house?
No. I went ahead and got a Ouija board to speak with the spirit.
Very good. Yeah, it's funny because we went just today to a liquor store, right? A big liquor store, and there was, you know, I was with, you know, Monica was with us, and I was walking around, and I was like, oh, look, this sake, it was called soju, and I was like, oh, that's the name of the alcohol spirit in Supernatural. It's a soju. And then I'm like, oh, I need to get some of that. And I was walking along. I'm like, oh, look at this. This is a wine that's like a Ouija board thing. It's like, you know, a Ouija board wine game type thing. And she's like, what are you trying to do? Summon demons? And I said, yeah, I am. I said, because, you know, if I summon demons, there's always a chance it's going to look like Crowley. It's going to look like Mark Shepard. True. So who wouldn't want that?
Amen to that.
That's right. So anyway, long story short, this episode, we are reviewing The Conjuring, Last Rites. We will talk about that here in a little bit. Lots to say on that. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. Honestly, I've been pretty busy getting prepared for my trip next week, which we'll talk about later. That's right. So I've been doing too much in terms of watching. I have been able to catch up on a couple of Marvel TV shows. I finally got around to watching Falcon Winter Soldier. Daredevil Born Again, and started watching the She-Hulk TV show, which is not as bad as people claim it is.
No, it was fun.
Right. But horror-wise, I actually been reading some books. I've been reading some Five Nights at Freddy's graphic novels that are horror, but they're pretty fun. It's good stuff.
Very good. Let's see. What did I watch? Didn't watch a whole... I did watch the Peter Pan, what's it called, Neverland Nightmare? Yeah. Which you told me was now available on Peacock. I had no idea. You would think we would have known that, but I didn't recall ever seeing an announcement about that, but there it was. And I watched it. I have to say, I think it's one of the better in the Pooniverse. It's really? Right up there with Bambi the Reckoning. Pretty good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It is definitely a slasher. Lots of blood, lots of fun. Peter Pan's a fucked up dude. And fun stuff. Watched that. I enjoyed that. But otherwise, no. Nothing horror related outside of the usual constantly watching Supernatural. That's always there. But otherwise, no, everything I watched was completely out of the realm of horror. So, all right. I guess that's kind of an apathetic way to transition, but we will take a break. And when we come back, we got lots to talk about. We got some news. We got some birthdays. We got some movie anniversaries. We got some updates about the Ike next week and the show next week. And we've got... coming up in the future of this episode, we have, of course, the review. So, but first, the news and birthdays are coming up, so stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So starting us off very strong, we have a couple of movies available on video on demand. First things first, Together is available video on demand. We never got around to reviewing this movie. I think it was one of the weeks that we either had some issues with the recording or when you were moving. But yeah. For people who want to catch it and who were not able to catch it in theaters like us, It is on video on demand.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because this is one of the movies I've been kind of looking forward to seeing, right? Because, you know, it's that body horror type thing. I like the premise of the movie from what I've seen. So I was really looking forward to seeing it. I think you're right. I think this fell into that weird period when I was moving and we were trying to juggle things. And you know what? I think we did a damn good job. We missed a couple of weeks here and there, but what the fuck, man? I was moving 8 hours away. It's gonna happen. But no, I was very much looking forward to seeing together in the theater. Didn't happen. But yeah, now I'm excited to see it video on demand. I'm sure once we watch it, we may not give a full review, but I'm sure we'll at least discuss it a little bit because I think it's probably going to be one of the funner movies to watch this year so far. So I'm excited to see it. I can't wait. So yeah, out there, video on demand probably will be streaming soon. But you know what? Hey, give them the dollars. Go ahead and get them, and help them out. So
Absolutely.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, me too. I've heard great stuff about it, but I just have to check it out. But speaking of great stuff that we have watched and reviewed that is also video on demand, Weapons is now available. So we had a good review of this. Very positive, very favorable review from both Dave and I. And perhaps one of the better movies this year thus far. I feel confident it'll make our top five at least.
And you know, literally, you put me on the spot right now, just off the top of my head. If I had to pick, what's your favorite movie of the, you know, horror movie so far this year? I would probably pick Weapons. I really would. Again, there's a, we're not gonna, you know, regurgitate it all, but there is a review in the archives if you haven't listened to it yet. Very, very good movie. Very solid movie. Performed at the box office well, as it should have. Very excited. It's on video demand, which I'm excited about. Monica hasn't seen it yet. I told her, hey, you got to watch this one. You'll like this one. This will be one you'll like. And so I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch it again. That's how much I enjoyed it. It's like after we watched it in theaters and whatnot, I completely was like, oh, man, I'm ready to watch it again. And so I'm excited that it's out there. And this will both these together and Weapons will, I think will be purchases for me. I really think I'll purchase these because I want both movies in my film archives.
Yep, absolutely. But very good. So that's pretty much it for our news, except we did have a little bit of news about The Conjuring. So I really saw some very conflicting stuff over the weekend with The Conjuring, you know, some stuff here and there. But first of all, Conjuring Last Rites had a breaking box office record for the horror genre, but this has now produced a spinoff within the Conjuring television or Conjuring universe. And it's going to be a television series moving forward on HBO Max. It's back to HBO Max now. It's not Max anymore.
Right.
And Nancy Wan will be the project showrunner. So, I mean, we've kind of always talked about that. We both thought that Conjuring would be a good long-form
Yes.
content driver. I mean, there's so
Yes.
much to explore there. So, obviously, we don't know anything other than there will be a show on HBO Max. So, we'll have to reserve all of our theories until we get a little more information. But of course, this is exciting news.
It is. I completely got theories and thoughts about what I think this will be. Now, again, I think if you're thinking, oh, Patrick Wilson and that will be, I think you might want to hold that because I don't think that's going to happen. I think I will say one thing. I think it's going to be a younger Ed and Lorraine, and I think we're going to see whether it be the actors that portrayed them in Last Rites, there was a younger portrayal of them in this movie, or somebody else. But just think, there's so many cases that they did. In reality, in real life, or if you just want to fabricate, you know, whatever for, you know, entertainment purposes. There, I mean, a 6-episode arc for a case. I mean, you could, I mean, how many seasons could you do? You could just go on and on. It's all there. They could explore individual, you know, different cases they've done and whatnot, and or they could, you know, I've got there. We won't go into it now. I'm sure this will come up at some point, but I'm excited about this, and part of my excitement stems from what we'll talk about later with the review. You know, I would have been excited anyway, but you know, I think I'm a little more excited even after seeing Last Rites, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Absolutely. But very good. So now we will jump to our upcoming birthdays when we have a few here. First things first, September 16th, 1958, we have Jennifer Tilly, who, of course, is Tiffany and Bride in Seed of Chucky. I mean, what can we say? Okay.
I mean, and she was also in the Chucky series, of course. Jennifer, I will always say, I love the Child's Play franchise overall. I love Chucky as a concept. And but I will always say, I think Jennifer Tilly was the one who saved the Child's Play series and kept it afloat. If had not they had they not brought her in Bride, and then in Seed, and then she come into it in the series, and her involvement, her support, her commitment to this series, this character. I don't know. We've always talked about how Child's Play has stayed relevant, has stayed in the public eye, has always been out there, right? Never had that lull that a lot of franchises do. I think a lot of that falls on Jennifer Tilly because she's been very passionate about this and been out there. She's kind of been the ambassador for this brand. And so I think a lot of that, I really think a lot of that is because of her. She's excellent, right? Tiffany is just the perfect role for her. But she's a great actress. And again, we've talked about it. One of those great people who found this role in horror and hasn't fully embraced it and enjoyed it. And I just love that, right? Because she has that same joy, it seems like, on her side, playing this role, going to these conventions, doing all this stuff, as we do as fans seeing it. So I love that when people do that, when actors do that. And but I think she's a, I really do. I think she's been a bit of a savior for that franchise. Not saying it needed saved, but I think she has kept it up at a high level because of her work and her involvement and being in the public eye. I really do.
No, I think I'd have to agree because I think that for the big part of like the Chucky lore and the Chucky history, there's just so many gaps between movies. There's been so many gaps between just general anything really. But I think Jennifer Tilly being as popular as she was has definitely maintained its relevancy. So I think that's a good way to look at it.
I mean, every franchise needs a face, right? And Chucky, clear, this is Chucky, right? But Chucky's a doll, right? So you can do so much with that, but there's a limit. But if you have to, I mean, to me, the face of the Child's Play franchise now, it's Jennifer Tilly and Chucky. I really do. No disrespect to Alex Vincent and their place in it and people like that. But Jennifer Tilly is, when people think Chucky, they think Chucky and Tiffany. They know it's like a duo now. And and Tiffany is merchandised damn near as much as Chucky. And that you got to give the credit to Jennifer Tilly for that and her work. So I have mixed opinions about Bride and See the Chucky, excuse me. None of that though is on Jennifer Tilly because she has been extraordinary in everything she's done personally.
No, absolutely. But and then also sharing a birthday with Jennifer Tilly. I feel like every year we talk about this, and
Oh
I always
yeah.
forget.
I didn't put it on the list and I totally forgot.
But honestly, I forgot that I even shared a birthday with her. But me, I have a
That's
birthday on the
right. That's
16th.
right. I guess it slipped my mind because I knew we were going to talk about it a little later and everything. But yeah, I didn't put you on the list. I usually put all of us on the list. And I mean, I put me on the list. I forgot to put you. My bad. Oh,
No, it's on me.
whatever. I guess it's a little surreal that here we are again. Not only that, but a milestone for you.
Yes, the big 3-0.
Woo! You're getting to be an old man. Go out and shout out the clouds like the rest of us.
I say, my wife Kayla, she's a couple years younger than I am, so she's not like that much younger than me. But she always gives me shit anytime like I reach like a milestone, like 25 or 30, or we've been together since we were teenagers. But she'll always be like, "Oh, you're an old man," and I'm like, "You're literally only 2 years younger than me." So,
Right. She'll be there in a couple of years.
I was gonna say it'll be her turn in a couple of years. So, but yeah, happy birthday to me and Jennifer
That's
Tilly.
right. That's
I
right.
always forget that we share a birthday. That's awesome.
Very cool.
I also share a birthday with one of the Jonas Brothers. I think it's Joe Jonas. I think.
Less cool in my mind, but okay if
Yeah,
you like the Jones. Okay. I got no issue with them. Just hey, that's not my style, man.
they're not horror. They're not horror
No,
related.
I'm
It's
not.
that.
Yeah, I'm not. Not to say they wouldn't. They wouldn't do a horror movie. That would be. I think it would work. I really
I think
do.
you would.
They
Well,
dabble in acting, right? I don't know the concept of who's who per se and who does what, but I know at least one of them or whatever has dabbled in acting. And it's sometimes those kind of people, right? I know that sounds weird, but those kind of actors, those kind of entertainers who you don't think in your mind, would work or that you would like, those typically sometimes really click in like a genre movie. And I could totally see. I'd only know the one Jonas. That's the guy I picked. Is it Joe, the main guy that you see everywhere? I don't
Yeah,
know.
he. I think so. I think he's the most. I feel like he's the most famous because he, like, even after they broke up, he still did music with DNCE, which was his band. I think that sounds
Well,
right.
whoever it is I'm seeing, I could totally see them doing a kind of horror movie and it working.
There you go. So Joe Jonas, hit us up. We'll set up a movie or yeah, movie
That's
release.
right. How many horror podcasts you think talk about the Jonas Brothers at all?
Probably none, if I had to guess.
Well, there's one. There's us.
True, true.
We're that
All
wacky man. We talk about weird shit.
we do. Well, did you also know this is wacky shit too? That September 16th is the ninth most common birthday.
Really? Wonder why that
Yep.
is.
Based on what I understand is that a lot of the most common birthday is September 9th. But this is a lot of people attribute this to conceptions that occur during winter holidays because 9 months from like December or January would be
Sure.
September.
It's
And
cold outside, you're holed up. What are you gonna do?
that's right. And then there's also one for like a lot of people think too that like if you're doing like family planning and stuff like that, it perhaps would be prudent to give birth before another winter. So a lot of people think that too. But yeah. But did you know that the next birthday, September 17th, 1951, for horror hostess Elvira, is actually the
Elvira!
Elvira, I'm sorry, is actually the fourth most common birthday.
Really?
Yep. I don't know why, but September is.
Why do you know that?
So the reason I know that is because me and Kayla were talking the other day, and she's like, I wonder if there are like birthdays that are more common than others. And the 10 most common birthdays, 9 of which are in September.
Dude, people bumping uglies in the winter a lot, aren't they?
Weirdly enough, the 6th most common birthday is July 7th, which is, yes, the reason they say July 7th is common is because, again, winter months, kind of, but also people try and give birth around the 4th of July, so they usually get scheduled like C-sections after the 4th of July holiday. So July 7th just happens to
Dude,
be common.
man, if you're trying to schedule your kid being born around the 4th of July, come on, man. Whatever.
But
But anyway, Elvira, all right?
Elvira.
I love Elvira. She is done so much, right? She's done movies. She's done, again, a horror hostess. She is still out there doing convention appearances. And again, one of those people who is just such a great face for horror and such an iconic look. Granted, not unique, right? It was lifted a little bit from Vampira, but whatever. Elvira is the one that was around. And yeah, she's in whatever her sixth. Oh shit. I guess she's in her sixth. Is she 70 something? That would make her what?
Well,
74? Is that right?
yeah, 51, that would be 49 plus 25, which would be
74.
74, yeah.
My God. Okay. I press you like, and everybody listening, go look up a recent picture of Elvira. I would bet you money you would not think she was 74 years old. She looks great for her age. And I don't mean that in a creepy, she does. I mean, the genetics there must be unreal.
That's what I was gonna say. You gotta have them good genetics, but yeah. So happy birthday to Elvira. That's crazy. And almost shared a birthday with her. Super close.
That's right.
Jennifer Tilly is a good second
Sure,
though.
absolutely.
But all right. Well, cool. Couple few cool birthdays there. A little light this week, I would say, for it being the most common like week of birthdays. Statistically, there's not a lot of famous people, I feel like, born on this birthday. So I
Well,
guess more.
apparently they're not going into the horror genre. I mean, that's.
Right. I'm sure there's other people, but that's crazy. But all right. Good stuff. Happy birthday to us all. But now we have some movie anniversaries. So first things first, September 12th, 2003, Dave's favorite movie, Cabin Fever.
Not even. Ugh.
Cabin Fever is a paradigm. It is both horrible to Dave. I like it. I don't think it's great, but I like it. I'll rewatch them, every now and then. But it's like Dave hates them, but also it's an Eli Roth movie. So it's this weird
It's
paradigm
weird.
of
It is.
like, how
It's.
can he make that something that you don't like?
I don't know. Yeah, everybody starts somewhere, I guess. I don't know. But I mean, I do not like this movie at all. But I do. But I again, hey, not. I mean, impartial. Know a lot of people do like it. I know it's whatever it is, what it is. Not my thing. But it's there. So
Fair enough.
whatever, whatever. I will never rewatch that movie unless I have to, and I hope I don't ever have to.
That's fair. That's fair. But very good. We'll move on to September 13, 1991, a only moderately better film, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. It's not horrible, but it's definitely one of those, like, should this movie have been made? Like, probably not, but they did anyways, so it's all right.
Yeah, it is what it is. Again, it's hard not to like aspects of it because, right, it's a nightmare movie, and there's a certain nostalgia, a certain love of that franchise and that character. So it's like it's hard to shit on it, right? It's hard to say something when you're talking about Freddy, Robert Englund, and a nightmare movie. But I believe, did we not talk about, have we not done a nightmare franchise ranking and all that?
I don't think we have.
Oh, well then,
I think we've
disregard.
talked about it, but or maybe we have. I don't remember though.
Well, if we're not, we will have to do it. So, I mean, again, this is not one of my favorite of the nightmare movies, but you know, they can't all be Dream Warriors.
That's right. Cannot all be dream warriors, but all right, good stuff. Moving on to September 13, 2005, something that is like Dream Warriors, I would say, in some respects.
Better.
Better. Oh man, the first episode of Supernatural, man, 2005 was a wild time. Have you ever seen some of the photos, like the promo pictures they did for that first season?
I have, yes, they're pups, and
Those are
it's
so
wow,
funny.
yeah, hard to believe. Again, if you like Supernatural, there's a lot of stuff on their social media talking, you know, doing things about the 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe 20 years. It's just unreal to think. But it's harder. What's even harder to believe is, right, 20 years since the first episode, right? But it went 15 years, so it's only like 5 years ago that the show stopped. It's
Yeah.
pretty real, unbelievable. Again. You know, everybody knows I love this show. If you listen to this, if you follow me on social media, if you know me even haphazardly, I love Supernatural. I'm obsessed with Supernatural. Probably the only person on the face of the planet that I would leave my wife for is Jensen Ackles. I'm sorry. But she wouldn't leave me either. Monica would come right along. It would just have to work somehow. And but anyway, the thing is, if I always, every time Supernatural comes up, I think this. If you have hesitation to try Supernatural because you think, oh, it's a CW show, or you think, oh God, it's 15 years, that's so daunting. Fuck all that. Ignore all that. Just dive in, watch it, and do it. I'm telling you, if you like horror, you will love this show because, first of all, it doesn't come across like a CW show, especially like the first 5 seasons or so. And they push the boundaries on what you can do on television. There's some gore. There's some scary shit. And whatever you like about horror, if you like a certain type of fictional character or monster, it's in Supernatural somewhere. So just give it a shot. I implore you. Great show. Great show.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add to what you said, the CW gets away with so much shit. There's a lot
They
of
do.
horror CW shows. And I mean, you have decapitations, you have literal, like, hearts getting ripped out. You've got like this really gory shit happening, and they get away with it. I don't know. I don't
There's
know how.
some gruesome stuff in Supernatural. There really is some movie level stuff. So again, if you know, it is what it is, right? I just, some seasons are better than others. Some episodes are better than others. Just watch it. I mean, especially though, the first 5 seasons, oh man, they're damn near perfect, with the exception of a couple of episodes. But it's such a good show. Such a good show. Such. All the actors involved in it are such quality human beings. It's just great. I love Supernatural, right? And I will go to my deathbed praising it. But it's hard about 20 years. Unreal.
Crazy, but very good. So we're going to move on from that to September 13th, 2013 for Insidious Chapter Two, a worthy sequel to the original Insidious film. It's a good 1-2 punch, for sure. Fantastic movie. I haven't watched him in a while, but it's got our boy Patrick Wilson in it.
That's right. And who will, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit later. But now, again, I know I always say I get my Conjuring and my Insidious confused. This, we did do an Insidious franchise episode, right? When the Red Door came out.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. So go into the archives. You can hear a little bit of here's talk about chapter two a little bit, where it ranked for us. Because we did talk about the Insidious franchise when we did the right before we did the review of Red Door, like last year or the year before, one or the other.
Yeah,
Anyway.
I can't remember. I always lose track, but I think it was 2023. I feel like that makes sense, but I could be wrong
It's
when
there.
that
Just
movie came out.
bring us up, scroll down a little bit, you'll find it. It's there.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. We'll jump now to September 16th, 1987, a few years before I was born. Street Trash. That's great that I share a birthday with Street Trash.
Yes.
I've not gotten around to watching the OG, but I really like the remake, so I guarantee I'd like the OG.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the remake right not too long ago. I don't think we did a full review, but it did come up because there was a remake. It's out there. I don't, pardon me, I don't know which. It's on one of the streams, or Shudder or Screambox. I don't remember which one. Right, there is a remake. Was very really good, but the original is really good too. So yeah, if you like that, especially like with Toxic Avenger out there and people responding to that and liking that apparently, and this, I mean, you know, in Together, all that body horror, melt horror stuff. I mean, Street Trash is like the godfather of that stuff. So yeah, go check it out. This is I'm not saying it's where it began, but this is definitely at least a peak in that genre.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. Also on September 16th, a few years later, 2022, we have Pearl. Pearl, and we talked about this when we reviewed Maxine. We actually talked about the other films with X and Pearl. And I give a lot of credence to, upon a rewatch, Pearl is a lot better than I thought it was. And I enjoyed it greatly. Compared to Maxine. Not to say Maxine was bad, but I think I ranked Pearl a little bit above what Maxine did for me. But yeah, I love Pearl.
It's a good trilogy. It really is. It's a good trilogy. Pearl's great. It's a great film. I love X. I think X is a great horror movie. But yeah, Pearl's right there. You know, I liked Maxine. I think it did have a little bit of disappointing parts. Maybe not what I wanted. Maybe I wanted a little more from it. But yeah, Pearl's one of those. I would just go in there. I think the whole trilogy is one that, if you rewatch upon, you know, subsequent watches, I think it's a little better than when you first watch it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely one of those rewatch makes it a little better somehow.
Yeah, I'd
But
really like to sit down just watch the three,
like in a straight shot.
like all together and get that. I mean, I've not done that, right? I've been, you know, years separating. Yeah, I'd like to sit down and watch all three, just one right after another, and see my take. So. But yeah, it's weird. It's like it's that didn't even feel like Pearl. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's been 3 years for that. It's just, man, time flies when you're
Well,
in
it's
the crack of.
strange because X came out prior to that, which
That's right. I
did
know,
in
and it's
2022, just by a
so
couple
weird.
months, but.
Yeah, so odd. But whatever. It's just I attribute a little bit to that. I mean, we're getting so much good stuff for the last few years, and even now, it's just it's hard to. To grasp that what we're getting and that it's, you know, the time, it's just because like no you watch something and you love it, but then you're like, oh, look, this is right on the horizon, so you're moving on, and it's so crazy. It just, you know, what we do week to week. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about Last Rites, but then, hell, we were talking about the other day our schedule coming up the next month or so. There's some damn good movies coming out. It's going to be one right after another. Some good stuff.
Absolutely. But very good. We're going to jump now to September 17th, 2010. We have the movie Devil. This is a goodie. This is a goodie. This is,
It is.
again,
I like it.
it's 15 years old, which is weird to me, but I remember this came
Yeah.
out. It was
Yeah.
great.
Does not feel like 15
Underappreciated.
years, man. It does not.
Oh,
I literally saw this and I fact checked it because I thought, did we not watch this and review it? It seemed weird to me. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. I don't know. But this is the elevator movie, right?
Yep, elevator demon in the elevator. Trying to think. trying to remember how the movie ended now. Like, I'm literally sitting over here because sometimes we talk about these movies, I haven't seen them in so long. I don't remember how the movie ended. It's been 15 years. Anyways, I'll have to go watch that later. All right, so I think that'll do it for our upcoming movie anniversaries. And now we have a upcoming release. All right, The Long Walk is coming to theaters on September 12th and is based on Stephen King's 1979 novel of the same name. It is described as a group of teenage boys compete in a annual contest known as The Long Walk, where they must maintain a certain walking speed or they get shot two in the back of the head. We will be reviewing this movie next
That's
episode. Well, I can't say we'll be reviewing this movie next
right.
episode.
No. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Yeah,
Yep.
we'll save that news. But yeah, that is the movie being discussed on this podcast next week. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This looks pretty cool. I will take a chance on any Stephen King based movie. So I'm good, and looks good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be excited to watch it too. Fun fact, the cruise that we're going on has an IMAX theater, so
There you
depending on
go.
what is in the theater, we may actually go see this.
There you go. All right.
But anywho, that pretty much does it though, I think, for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we will take a quick reprieve, a little siesta, if you will, and when we come back, we will have our official review of The Conjuring: Last Rites.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing The Conjuring: Last Rites, which is supposedly the last of the mainline Conjuring movies. They have not, they've said they will, there could be offshoot movies. We obviously spoke earlier, they're of a TV series, but it's supposedly of the main Conjuring movies, this is it. But we'll see what happens after we talk about this a little bit, and we mention a fact here in a minute. This movie was written by N. Goldberg, Richard Ng, and David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. Dude, just eliminate a couple of names there. This movie was directed by Michael Chavez, starring Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Mia Tomlinson, and others. Movie was released in theaters September 5th. And domestically, this movie has grossed $83 million on opening weekend, which was good for number one domestically. Not even close. And this movie globally has done unreal, over twice that amount, I believe. So that's why I say, they say this is going to be the last one, but damn, when you're pulling this kind of money, what do you got? I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But for now, we'll take what they say at face value. And
Right.
I feel like we talk about Conjuring a lot, right? Because the anniversaries come up, and there's several movies now. And and there was the Nun and the Annabelle and all these offshoot things and whatnot. But man, I will tell you this: we watched the preview, or the, excuse me, the trailers, and we kept saying, "Man, this looks really good. This looks like they're getting back to high form, right?" And this movie, man, to me, this is one of the better Conjuring movies they've done. It was scary. It was spooky. The story was great. I love the upped involvement of the daughter in this. I thought that was a great way to freshen it up a little bit and give it a little more. Like all the Conjuring movies, I love at the end when they show the real pictures of the Warrens and things like that. That's always cool. They do that, I think, with all of them, and I always like that. I think it's pretty cool. But this movie, it did, but it really, to me, got back to the core of what made the Conjuring franchise, the series, work. And it was, I thought it was, I thought it was scary. I thought it was spooky. There was jump scares, there was tension built. Man, you don't have to worry about the acting in it. You know that's gonna be there. But even some of the new characters, right? These are mild spoilers, I guess, but like the daughter's boyfriend and everything, they were all great in what they did. And little, I guess we'll call them Easter eggs, right? Little mentions that made you think of the other movies and the different times we got to see the cursed room or whatever you want to call it of the Warrens with all the stuff in it, right? With Annabelle and different things. It was just all great, right? And it all worked, and this felt like the right kind of Andy movie to pull things together. And it the start was great. They established, the importance of the daughter in this film and this franchise right off the bat. And I mean, I don't know. I don't have any complaints. I thought this was I like the Conjuring movies, and but I will say the last couple have been kind of mediocre. But I really feel like they've kind of gotten back to form with this one. I really thought this one was really, really good. Really solid. Nothing, I don't think anything groundbreaking, anything new. I just think they got back to what made this franchise work and tapped into to that vibe, that feel. And it was super enjoyable. And I'm looking forward to watching it again. So Ike, what'd you think of The Conjuring Last Rites?
First things first, I just want to say I love, like you said, I love the photos and all the stuff at the end that they always do.
Yeah, those are great.
It just, to me, that's just kind of a hallmark of all the Conjuring movies, even like the Annabelle movies and like the Nun movies and stuff. Like, they always like do a little something like that, I'm pretty sure. Obviously, big love for that, big ups for that. But no, absolutely, I do agree. Conjuring Last Rites didn't reinvent the wheel. The Conjuring Last Rites, to me, kind of got back to what I think made The Conjuring so popular. Out of the mainline Conjuring films, this is the fourth, because we had Conjuring 1, 2, The Devil Made Me Do It, and then now Last Rites. 1 and 2 were great. You had these very strong, very withholden stories that had a real basis in real life, like The Enfield Haunting, which was the second movie was based off of. And then the third movie, Devil Made Me Do It, was also another famous case of the Warrens, where they essentially got a murderer acquitted because they were able to some degree, prove that the devil made him do it. I do think that, politics aside, because that's obviously a little weird that they were able to influence that. That's a little strange. But the movie, in comparison, Last Rites, I feel like really went back to what made 1 and 2 so good. And what made The Devil Made Me Do It not as good, right? Because if I were to, off the rip, rank the other three movies, because I'm really not sure yet where this movie ranks for me. I feel like I have to watch it again to get that. But off the rip, the other three movies, Devil Made Me Do It's at the bottom. But it's an easy 1, 2, 3 in ranking because the first movie was so great. It had all the great stuff that The Conjuring started with. 2 built upon that. 3 just kind of was like, fizzled out a little bit. 4, I feel like launched it right back to where we were with 1 and 2. That was a long way of me saying it didn't reinvent the wheel, but it put the wheel back on the car. If you know what I mean.
I agree.
It,
And
like,
I don't think there's a stinker in the bunch, right? I mean,
no.
Devil Made Me Do It, maybe it's not as strong, but I still don't think it's horrible. But it just there was that I don't know there was something about it, right? It didn't have that same energy, that same feel, that same uneasiness and creepiness. I speak of that a lot, right? I want a horror movie, whatever it's about, whether it's a monster, whether it's a killer, whether it's a possession type movie. It's got to have tension. It's got to build. It's got to make you on the edge of the seat, your hair on end, waiting to see what's going to happen next, and not predictably all the time, right? Again, we say sometimes predictability is okay, but in this one, I felt like the pacing was so good, right? They didn't have these big lulls of nothing where it was just building story. Right? They would tell a little story, and then there something would happen, and and they would shift. They had like different timelines that we eventually kind of came together. That's my best description, right? But the pacing was so good, it really kept you enthralled to see what was happening, where it was going. Again, I don't think there was anything that made you think you didn't know where it was going per se, but it was still entertaining enough that it's okay. It's like putting on a comfortable shirt, right? You know how it's going to feel, but man, it's still good to wear it. And it, so it was like, you watch this movie and you're like, oh yeah, this is why I like the Conjuring movies. This is it, right? It's like this is right there, that vein, that vibe, that feel, the energy of the first couple, maybe what they lost a little bit of. They got it here. And
Right.
if it is indeed the last one of these, that's a damn good one to end on.
Yeah, I would agree. Now I will say, we talked a lot of positive, and I do think that this movie is I would say overwhelmingly positive than negative. But the one thing that kind of just pissed me off just a little bit, and I don't understand why they did it. So I've talked about before, like they've recast Judy Warren once before, and it made sense why they did it at the time, right? Because they needed her to look younger, so they cast McKenna Grace, the player.
Yep.
So the original Judy Warren is Sterling Gerrans, who played her in the first, all three Conjuring movies. I think she was also like in the flashback scene from one of the other movies or something like that. But she was Judy Warren in those movies. Well, she's now in her 20s, all right? And they recast her with Mia Tomlinson because the character needed to appear older, even though Gerrans, who is still, I think she would be able to pass it for a 20-year-old, but I don't know. That kind of peeved me a little bit because I did like Sterling Gerrans and
Yeah.
her version of it. And I get why they did it. They have to they all ultimately they have to appeal to most likely a production company. And it's very possible that the company was like, no, we need to recast her. So that pisses me off a little bit, but at the same time, like I don't know. I don't like it. I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not also the person that gave them money to make the movie. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get a say in that.
Yeah. And without knowing, I mean, again, I don't know what. I don't know the entire story there.
Right.
I don't like recast either, right? I don't. I've got that OCD where I like I want consistency. But whatever, for whatever reason it happened, it's a part of film. And I will say, Mia Tomlinson did a great job in this movie. But yeah, I mean, it's yeah, I didn't have that consistency, but I don't know. I don't know how most people feel about that. I'm wired a little different. It takes a lot of effort for me to overlook stuff like that because it's weird because it doesn't look right to me. But yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. I'm not gonna knock. The performance was great in this film, even
Right,
with the
that's what I was gonna
recast.
say.
So,
That's what I was gonna say is that it wasn't a bad a version of the character. It's just I would have preferred to have the original person, but at the same time, it's not like she did a bad thing. It wasn't like the movie was worse off for it. It's just that. Like you said, I'm a continuity kind of guy. I would greatly prefer continuity almost over anything. So it's one of those like, yeah, it kind of sucks that she got recast. I'm not a fan of it, but I don't necessarily think that the movie is worse off for it. So
Yeah. And it's not one of those
I'll
recasts, right, where you're recasting like a Michael Myers where he's under a mask and you can't really
hold
see
that.
it on the
Right.
screen. It looks like the same character. It's just that's just, I hear you. It's just a personal preference thing. I know maybe a lot of people don't they don't maybe not give two shits about it. But
Right,
and it's
but
a part of films, right? You have to accept it because it happens all the time. But
I also have the slight grievance that Judy Warren had a little bit more of an important role in this. So it just kind of seemed that compared to her other roles, I don't know. It bothers me. It's kind of like when they recast Scott Lang's daughter in the Ant-Man movies.
Oh
They
yeah.
and No, I don't dislike the person they recast her with. It's just that it felt like kind of a slap in the face to the person who played the character when they had like two lines to just be like, okay, go fuck yourself. I'm going to put somebody who's more famous. And
Yeah.
not to say that Mia Tomlinson is more famous, but you know where I'm getting at. It just kind of seems weird. It, like you said, there was probably a reason for it. I don't know the full story, so I won't guess. But yeah, that's my one grievance about the movie. Everything else, though, I'm on board with.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, well, apparently it's not hurt. It's not, a lot of people aren't holding against them, right? It's unbelievable performance in the
Yes,
box
it's
office.
doing well.
Yeah, it's again, overall, the strong performance by horror in the box office. There have been a couple of exceptions. And the thing is, those exceptions, aka movies like Megan 2.0, right? Which we have a review. You look at it and you can see why it's an exception. No, if it, I love Megan. Megan 2.0 is a horrible movie. It's just not, I don't think as a horror movie, I don't like it. It doesn't work. I do not think it's a good sequel. We're not going to go back and revisit that. There is a review in the pro, but I'm saying the exceptions to the performance, you get why. You can watch the movie and say, oh, I get it, right? I get it. But overall, it's great to see that horror is still performing strong. Like we've said, in the coming weeks, lots of great movies coming out. Just it's easy to fill those slots in what we're reviewing because there's lots of top-notch films, coming out. A little. I mean, if you want to, people want a little peek in the curtain, right? We talk about we're doing The Long Walk. Then there's Him, The Strangers Chapter 2, VHS Halloween, Vicious, The Black Phone 2. Those are all movies, for the most part, where it's like easy. It's easy to know that movie's coming out and you want to review it and you want to see it. Now, we're in that prime time. So it's good to see horror performing. And I have no reason to believe that with some of these coming up, not all of those are theater releases, right? VHS Halloween's not. But anyway, I mean, The Black Phone 2 and The Long Walk and Him, I expect all those to do big things in the box office too. And when you see that and you see how this does, you got to feel good, right? You got to think, okay, this is good. So, 2026 is probably going to have some good movies. We already know we got the next Scream and a couple other movies coming out next year. But obviously, if it's making money, the theater production companies and whatnot are going to look to make more. I think this movie's worthy of what it's doing. I think it's a good movie. I think it's, I think it's completely deserving of the number one spot for the weekend. I'm glad, The Conjuring's always perform well. But yeah, I think this is a kind of a swing up from the last one, and I'm pretty happy with it. But let's get to the rating. Again, I can't say it's again not reinventing, reinventing anything. It's a Conjuring movie. It's got back to what worked for them. But I will say I think it's a tick above the middle of the road. I think I'm gonna have to give it a 3.5 out of 5. It's not enough that it's reinventing, not doing anything super original per se. But it's doing what works and it's doing it well. Fun movie. Definitely a rewatch movie that I'm looking forward to seeing again. And I think it's a tick above that middle of the ground enjoyable movie. I think it's just a little better. So I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5. Ike, what are you giving Conjuring Last Rites?
I will also be giving a 3.5 out of 5. Like you said, I do think that there are what I would say is better Conjuring movies. Not to say this is in any way, shape, or form a bad Conjuring movie, but there are other Conjuring movies that I would rank above this. I think, like I said, I need to watch it again, I feel like, to get like my true bearings on my ranking. But I feel somewhat confident that this would be sort of maybe like a 2 or a 3, maybe. In comparison, so 3.5 out of 5 to me seems like a pretty good middle ground to put this, given its predecessors.
Yeah, I think it's a definite positive step after Devil Made Me Do It. And again, if this is the last of the mainline Conjuring movies, that's okay. It's a good note to end on. But it does make me excited to see what else they will do. It does make me excited to see what they will do with this series at HBO Max. It does make me excited to know if they do any offshoot movies, any more offshoot movies, and stuff like that. So for people that like this universe, like this franchise, don't fret, right? It's still going to be around. It's still making money, so in some way there will be something Conjuring related out there. And it looks like for now the plan is to delve into a series on HBO Max, which is super exciting. And Ike and I, like you said earlier, we've talked about how franchises need to dive more into the series. It works, and the Conjuring would be perfect. I think it'll work perfectly for a series. I'm excited to see what they do with that. So. Anyway, like we said, next episode, the review will be of the movie The Long Walk, the adaptation of the Stephen King novel. However, it is a little different because Ike will be on vacation, a cruise, as he stated earlier, celebrating his 30th birthday. So Ike will not be here. Ike will not be on domestic ground. He'll be in international waters or on international soil, depending on the date and time. The machine's got to roll on. So I'm bringing in a pinch hitter, and I will have a special guest co-host for the next episode, and it will be my better half, Monica. She's going to come on and review The Long Walk. She's going to fill the Ike role. She'll do the news and movies, the anniversaries and birthdays and all that, and review the movie for me. So, for those of you who are a fan of Monica's takes and Monica's opinions, or those of you that are fans of the Wise Rebuttal, it might be interesting because there could be very contrasting views of the long walk between me and Monica. Who knows? Who knows where this will go? So tune in next week to see where that goes while Ike is out enjoying sun and surf on his vacation. Celebrating 30 years. I think that's a good reason. I think it's a good reason to miss Awaken and get out there and celebrate.
I think so.
I think you're entitled. We'll go on. So that's coming next episode, the review of the long walk with me and Monica pinch hitting for Ike next week. Speaking of Monica, speaking of Kayla, we would like to send our thanks to them for their support and to all of you listeners and followers for supporting us and listening. Speaking of followers, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number Two in Screams, and you will find us. Again, we're on all of them. We post pretty much everything we talk about on the episodes, plus more. We post out there. And this is a good time to really follow us because I part of your vacation, part of your trip, your journeys will include a stop in Orlando, Florida for Halloween Horror Nights. And
Yes, it will.
which of course, that's always an exciting thing, but it's a little more exciting, particularly for you and for me, because this year Halloween Horror Nights includes Terrifier. So this is a perfect time to follow us on social media because Ike will be sending along and there will be postings of Ike's experience, pictures, videos, his takes, his opinions, whatever you want to say of the Halloween Horror Nights down in Orlando. So make sure you subscribe and follow us on social media. And then, like, obviously, in 2 weeks, two episodes, when Ike returns, we'll get to hear a little bit of a review of Halloween Horror Nights from Ike, particularly the Terrifier, because we know for a fact that's what Ike will be going through. And then we'll see what else he experiences. So this is a perfect time to subscribe, a perfect time to follow us on social media, because there's going to be some really cool stuff coming up. Not to mention, we're in Spooktober.
Yes.
And Halloween's around the corner. And again, like we mentioned last week, we're not doing the 2 month Spooktober watch list, but coming in October, we will do a 31 days of October watch list. But coming up, I mean, we watch a lot of horror, but coming up in October is when we really watch a lot. We rewatch a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff happening out there, events, merchandise, what have you. And to make it doubly interesting, Ike and I are now in the same vicinity. So some of these events we'll get to go to together, and we'll get to report it to you. We'll get to post pictures and all this and that. So it's just a great time if you're new to the Listen to Their Screams world to jump on. We are a positive horror experience, and no matter what your wherever you're at in your journey with horror, we welcome you aboard. Whether you're new to horror or whether you've watched it for decades, we welcome you to our world. We're positive people. We just like to have fun and watch horror and be a little spooky. So again, that's just a long way of saying subscribe to us on social media and also subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. If the option's there, give us a rating and review because it helps us, those algorithms come up when people are listening to similar podcasts. We come up as a suggested listen. So that helps us out. But thank you to those of you who do support us, have supported us for a while. We have some great listeners, some great followers. So thank you for all you do. We love the interaction on social media. So don't be shy if you follow us, man, react to our posts, comment your stories, your opinions. We love interacting. We love hearing from you guys. We're easily accessible in here. We are men of the people, so to speak. We're just two of you guys, just like everybody else. We just like to talk a lot. So before we close, Ike, and before you ship off on your vacation, as you close the door on this episode, and we won't hear from you, at least this way, audibly, in a week, there will be again posts, pictures and whatnot. Anything you want to add before you ship out?
Adios, motherfuckers.
All right, that works. That works. That works. Again, make sure you watch. Ike will be sending in pictures that will be posted from Halloween Horror Nights. If you're out there, if you're going to Halloween Horror Nights, or if you're going to your local haunts or your local events, or just if you just see a cool decoration or display someone that's got out there in their yard. Man, post that up, tag us in it. I love seeing that stuff. I love seeing that stuff. We want to be a part of that. I can't get enough of this time of year. Go buy our shirts if you love Spooktober. We have one that says Spooktober is a year-round event. We mean that, right? We love it. We get into this stuff all year round. It's just during this time period, everybody else gets on board with us. So Ike, have fun on your cruise. Don't jump overboard. Have a lot of drink and have a good time. Celebrate 30.
Oh,
Look forward. I'm very jealous of you getting to go to Halloween Horror Nights. Look forward to seeing your pictures and whatnot. That we will again, we'll be posted up on social media. In 2 weeks, you will return, which I think is it him? Is it when you return?
I believe so.
Yeah. But again, next week we will be reviewing The Long Walk. That is me and Monica as she steps in to fill the role. So that's it. That's it for this episode. Go see The Conjuring Last Rites in theaters if you have not already. And if you have, just go see it again. And then make sure you purchase those movies on video on demand. Watch the ones that are new to streaming. Support horror in whatever way you can. But until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.